the things that I was taught, like, they're the bad guys, go get them. For whatever reason the disagreement was, it wasn't always clear to me, but there was always good people and bad people, and of course, the circle that you happened to be in at the time were the virtue signaling good people. And Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. He's the resurrection and the life. He's not a God of death and murder. And we need to rethink that. I remember the scratchy voice of Winston Churchill. I would say to the house, as I said to those who have joined this government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. Remotivating speaker. Even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen and may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all the odious apparatus of Nazi rule, we shall not flag nor fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight in the seas and the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air, and we shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. And there is a time to sacrifice your life for peace. There's always a time to honor those who have given their lives for our peace. But when I look at the history and the statistics, and I see an era where they built the Titanic and the light bulb and the radio and the steam engine and the automobile, and some of the most brilliant inventions in the history of the world out of what they called the Gilded Age. Intelligent, hardworking people. And then you look at the statistics, and just after all of those beautiful inventions, as well as the explosive, you realize during World War I, 8,005,000 soldiers were killed through artillery, wounds, disease, poison gas, and they couldn't even diagnose PTSD back then. They just called it shell shock, and he, she, they, them are crazy. Just let them figure it out. We have no idea the mental illness costs of World War I. World War II ensued. And over the course of the fallout of World War II, start to finish, and in the following years, 73 million casualties. If you want to argue the necessity of war, I'm happy to do that. But I don't think anything's worth 73 billion people. There's got to be a better solution. And right now, the size of attaché briefcases are explosives that can completely obliterate New York. Explosives the size of that monitor can just decimate people. Greater love has no one than this, than they lay down their life for a friend. I do love a quote that Churchill says over the airwaves, when a few very courageous young British pilots went into the air in the fog against the German Luftwaffe, whose reputation was so strong, no one could ever think of challenging this group of pilots. And a few men went up, and slowly but surely, through the unbelievable courage of their heart, fended off the German attack on Britain and saved so many lives by their courage. They laid down their life so that the aggressor wouldn't obliterate them. And Winston Churchill got on the airwaves the next day and said this infamous, beautiful phrase, never in the field of human conflict has so much been owed by so many to so few. There's a time to engage. There's a time to engage. I understand that. But 73 million people, imagine if those lives were here today. Jesus took 12 young men, sat them on a mountainside, and tried to convince them that you are blessed if you make peace, if you're a peacemaker. I looked a few more stats after World War II. The United Nations made this comment: our mission is to maintain international peace and security. I'll repeat that. United Nations, 1945, October 24th. Our mission is to maintain international peace and security. How's that going? Glad you asked. There has not been one day since that declaration that there has not been some form of armed combat, resistance, peacekeeping, conflict. Not one day. Since that day, 1945, 100 million people, 100 million people have been affected, killed, injured, displaced. The Canadian Army took stats. Deep in a Canadian journal since thousands of years ago, as far as they could find, look back, 3.4 billion people have been killed in military conflict on planet Earth. The amount of property damage is so deep and so wide that you could take a belt 100 miles wide and 33 feet thick, the stat says, and go all the way around the world with that visual. You hear slogans even now. Peace talks. A peacemaker is not a peace talker, it's a peace doer. We'll talk about that in a moment. You hear the phrase peace through strength. Rome had a clause, and it was the Pax Romana. We'll keep the peace, or else, right? That's called peace through force. Malcolm Muggeridge looks back on that time in the 1900s, and we look back upon history, and what do we see? Empires rising and falling, revolutions and counter-revolutions, wealth accumulated, wealth dispersed, all in one lifetime, gone. In my own experience, I've seen the British ruling over a quarter of the world, singing the song, "The God who made us mighty will make us mightier still." That empire completely decimated. I've heard a crazed, cracked Austrian proclaim to the world the establishment of a German Reich that would last 1,000 years. I've seen America wealthier and in terms of weaponry more powerful than all the rest of the world put together, so that if America had wanted, they could have outdone a Caesar, an Alexander, even a Nebuchadnezzar, all in one lifetime, all gone. England, now part of an island off the coast of Europe, threatened by bankruptcy. Hitler, Mussolini, remembered only in infamy. Stalin, a forbidden name in the regime he helped dominate for some 3 decades. America haunted by the fears of running out of that precious fluid that keeps their motorways roaring and the smog settling. Thinking about the disastrous campaign in Vietnam, the Don Quixotes of the media as they charge the windmills of Watergate, all in one lifetime, gone. Gone with the wind. He goes on to say this. Behind the debris of these solemn supermen and self-styled imperial diplomatists, there stands the gigantic figure of one because of whom, by whom, and through whom we may find peace. The person of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And that's who we want to center on today. Blessed are the peacemakers. You're living the dream. That's my translation of blessed. You're living the dream as a peacemaker. Blessed, you're living the dream. The word peace has been unpacked quite clearly biblically. Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. Jesus spoke Aramaic, and we learn from all the languages and we come up with translations that are helpful. Shalom is a beautiful word that you've heard. The peace that is spoken of in the Old Testament is a peace of perfection. They would call a stone, a diamond, or a stone that is absolutely perfect, shalom. It's peaceful. Its pieces are complete. There's nothing missing and nothing broken. A wall, if you looked at a wall and all the components or the pyramids and everything was neatly snapped together, those of you who make puzzles, you know, you got to get that last piece in there. When you fit the last piece in and the puzzle's perfect and you stand back, shalom. It's complete. It's perfect. Job says, all my sheep are here and safe. None are missing. I have shalom. David goes to his brothers on the field of battle to see how their shalom. How's your wellness? That's a common term today, wellness, peace. How's the shalom amongst my brothers? Are they fed, watered, alive, wounded? How's the shalom? And I would ask, how's the shalom in your life and mine? Are the relationships good? Life is complex, relationships, situations. There's things out of alignment. That means there is no shalom. Peacemakers are called to bring peace. Solomon talks about shalom as he finishes the temple. And he is, the temple's complete. This is shalom. Now it gets a bit convicting in the Proverbs to reconcile and heal relationships is to bring shalom. Anybody need a relationship that needs some healing? Hope so. I do. Don't know a year in my life where I don't have to call someone and say, hey, I'm sorry. It's interesting. When Jesus calls us to pray, he says, forgive us our sins. Disciples, forgive us our sins as we forgive those. You see, you get that right. The vertical with God correct. Okay, now I can forgive others. Because you can't forgive others unless you receive his forgiveness and that peace. And I will tell you today that I've learned something quite strategic. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. Forgiveness is like eating. Do it every day, three times, all the time. Peter says, Jesus, do I got to keep forgiving these guys? To which I would have replied, well, Peter, they're forgiving you a lot, champ. Because we know Peter, but Jesus just said, it's over and over and over. It's a lifestyle. When we come to Christ, there's this beautiful sense that we give him our poverty of spirit and he gives us the richness of Christ. We give him our weakness and our inability. He gives us his strength. My defeat becomes his victory. My sin is replaced with his righteousness. My no peace is restored by his shalom. My life, my community, my world. It starts in the mirror. I hate to quote Michael Jackson. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him, her, they, them, to change their ways. No message could have been quite clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make the change. Bring shalom. Be a peacemaker. When Jesus is talking to those who are listening, there's some people in the crowd I want you to meet. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Essenes, and the Zealots. They all have their own way of depicting peace. Sadducees, Pharisees, Essene zealots. That's who Jesus is talking to. Disciples, poor, outcasts, sex traffickers, they're all there. And they all have their own definition of peace and how to create it. A number of years ago in England, there was a contest to paint an image of perfect peace. And the second prize was won by an incredible lake landscape with waterfowl, a sunset, perfectly still water, and a sense of deep tranquility that you could just go, oh, that's just perfect. The Bible says God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is focused on Him. And because they didn't know how to translate perfect peace, they use those two words. It actually says, God will keep you in shalom, shalom. They just repeated the word. God will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Looking at this photo, there's a beautiful sense of tranquility. And it won second prize, but first prize was won by the individual who painted a roaring, crashing, flashing, disturbed sea. Rain, lightning, waves crashing on the beach, and a big escarpment with a little crevice in the rock. And in the rock was a nest. And in the nest was a bird with its eyes closed, resting in the cleft of the rock. That won first prize. Because He will keep you in perfect peace as you rest in the rock. And that rock is Christ. And as Jesus is speaking this, He is in a very difficult situation because there's a group of people there called the Sadducees, which have connected to the Roman Empire. They would be the religious privileged of the world. They have money, power, privilege. Oh, they love the Old Testament law. They try and abide by it. But they're connected to Rome. You don't bug us, we won't bug you. We're going to make money on the religious establishment, and the Sadducees were very powerful. They were the aristocracy of the religious world, very controlled. Remember Caiaphas, high priest, sends Jesus to His death. Oh, they want to keep the peace, all right. But when Jesus shows up, the Sadducees are like, you're messing up with the peace. Our peace is control, power, money, and we're in bed with the government, and we're peaceful. And Jesus blows up their paradigm. They don't like Him very much. It's funny. Recently, there was an ossuary that was found. An ossuary is a stone box that you put dead bones in to remember the person. They bury people before sundown. Bodies decompose, dig up the bones. Remember Joseph said, I want my bones to be back with my father's household. Remember that? They found the high priest Caiaphas' ossuary. They found it. He's real. And he was totally against Jesus. Pharisees, they're religious as well. They're the blue-collar pastors of the day. They're on the ground. They don't have a lot, but they have enough to have a little bit of control. But they're making sure everybody observes the law. And they like to talk about peace. They like to talk about the law. Sadducees, controlling. Pharisees, watchful. We don't want to be in the category of control and power, in the category of spying on everybody else to make sure they obey the rules. Their peace, the Pharisees, came from obeying the law. The Messiah is going to come back one day. He'll fix everything. But their Messiah, again, was controlling and powerful. You may choose to be part of this group. They're called the Essenes. They were listening to Jesus. Their peace, their idea of peace was total withdrawal. You've heard the phrase fight, flight, freeze, and conflict. Conflict, you either fight, you run away, or you freeze. I'm going to add one, because I've been in lots of conflict recently. And you got fight, flight, freeze, and analyze. Oh my goodness. Are you guys fighting again? That's awful. How come you just can't get along? And the super hyper-spiritual attitude that says, well, I would never be in conflict, It's a passive-aggressive feeling. That again, that's a little pharisaical. The Essenes decided no fight, no freeze, but we'll fly. Remember Masada, Qumran, Dead Sea Scrolls, 1948. You guys know all about that. That's the Essenes. We're just going to go preserve the word, obey the word, and completely separate ourselves. So Jesus is speaking to a group of people. Their peace is, I'm just going to avoid conflict totally. I'm going to stay away from everybody. But as Jesus defines peacemakers, it's the only time that word is used in the Bible. Peacemaker, he defines it as bringing harmony to dysfunctional, warring conflict groups. It's not run away from the problem. It's get in the middle of it and bring people together. That's hard work. That's a peacemaker. The Essenes were out of here. They're mad at Jesus because he's not withdrawing himself enough. I have a friend who works at a school, and I won't say the name, but it's a closed Brethren sect. So I supply taught there because I don't think about everything I'm doing sometimes. I'm in this school and I'm getting the interview, and I said, oh, cool, you know, you're based on Christianity. I said, so what churches are involved in this school? At my interview, ice cold, because there's only one church, right? They're the only ones who are right. I was only saying it because I thought it'd be fun to come to the church and maybe engage with the children. We don't engage with anybody. In fact, you're not allowed to talk to the kids outside of this building. Oh, and then it's lunch hour. Dan wants to engage with the children. They're like the Essenes. You're not allowed to eat with them. Closed communion, closed fellowship, you can't eat with us. We're just going to separate. No movies, no sports, no politics. That's the Essene mentality. Finally, you may lean into this group. Again, Jesus talking peacemaking. They're called the Zealots. They're there. Right? Peter's a bit of a zealot. Gets his little Makarios out, tries to stab this guy in the head and cuts his ear off to save Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But I'll take it from here with my knife on crucifixion night. It's really interesting. Zealots, I will achieve God's plan through force. We'll get together. They're terrorists. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. But we're going to fix the planet by killing as many people as we can to get our way. Don't be a zealot. And Jesus brings this beautiful, non-violent cooperation and says, blessed are you, peacemakers. You will be the sons of God. Peace is a person. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. I love that image. You know what I picture when it says the government's on his shoulders? A weak, misguided sheep. And Jesus says, I got you. Because he rules the universe. That's the image I get of the government. A weak, sheep. And when there's a bunch of them together, they're all scattered and scared. It's amazing. That's your political lesson for the day. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful. Boom. Counselor. Boom. Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Yes, Prince of Peace. It's a person. Ephesians, for he himself, Jesus, is our peace. He's made the two groups one, dividing the barrier of wall of hostility. Jesus is our peace. He says, my peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. Peace is a person. It's a promise. I do not give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. Trust in God. I will give you peace. I got 15 pages of notes, guys. I'm going to wrap it up. Sorry. Come and talk to me later, man. This was awesome preparing for this. I'm going to finish off with peace has a price. There's a price for peace, right? When Jesus gives his life that you and I may have peace right now, in the middle of the storm, hidden in the cleft of the rock. When he gives us his life, that is a life condition. Anybody heard of Desmond Doss? Remember that, Dave? Hacksaw Ridge? Amazing. Desmond Doss is a Seventh-day Adventist adherent. Vegetarian. I'm not going to have my Sabbath on Sunday. I'm going to have it on Saturday. And he's a very conscientious observer of his faith. And he is a pacifist. Don't get your head on the misunderstanding of pacifism. It doesn't mean I do nothing, like P-A-S-S, a pacifier, or I'm passive. A pacifist, I can summarize very, very quickly for you, is a person who says, I will never kill for what I believe, but I will always lay down my life for what I believe. Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not kill. Desmond Doss says, I'm a literalist, I'm not going to kill, but World War II is a just conflict against a very evil aggressor, and there's so many people dying, I have to get involved. But he won't take up arms to kill. He will only lay his life down. So he gets the training. The colonel knows he's a God-fearing Seventh-day Adventist, so he puts him in the infantry to shoot. They're trying to hijack him. And his courage says, I'll learn all about that gun, but I'll never use it. I want to observe my seventh day of rest on Saturday. Stands by his principle. The entire regiment is against him. And one man looks him in the eye and says, as soon as we go into combat, you're done, because I will kill you myself. They hate him because he stands for his principles. Well, they end up in their first military exercise, 25-mile run with packs on their back, which is really far. They're walking 25 miles, and there's guys passing out, blisters on their feet, injuries. And that day, Desmond Doss tends to every single one of those men, actually takes their boots off and fixes their blisters, and he won them over by his love and humble service. And when they get into the battle, every once in a while, there's a conflict that overwhelms them. 9,000 people end up dying in that regiment. And Desmond Doss, one day, is in the middle of one of the first ugly battles. And the guy who said, I'm going to kill you, watches the way he serves as a medic and as a helper and says, I need some help. Would you pray for me? It's called loving your enemies and laying down your life. And Desmond Doss ends up in this Battle of Okinawa, where, you know, if you've seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge, it's worth a look, climbing up this cargo net into 20,000 Japanese soldiers in a stronghold, and they just get obliterated over and over and over. And Doss stays out there late at night. He's created a little harness to lower men down. In order to lower men down that escarpment, you have to be standing up and lowering them down like this. So he's getting shot at. A grenade falls into one of the trenches, and he reacts and puts his foot on it and gets his leg blown up, and he's got 17 pieces of shrapnel all over him. While he's tending to his own needs, he's tending to another man beside him, laying down his life in the middle of conflict, bringing peace, making peace. At one moment, he's getting taken on a stretcher to go back, and he sees a man critically injured, and he says, please, take him first, I'll wait. Lays down his life. And the other man goes down. And finally, as he's lowering these men down, they hear him praying. And his, oh man, it's so precious. His prayer is, Lord, one more. One more. Just let me save one more person. I submit to you that prayer this week. Lord Jesus, would you give me one more person to be kind to, one more person to smile at, to love, to bring into the fellowship, to bring peace to one more broken relationship, to apologize and try and make it better. And I know some of them you can't. Sometimes the broken relationships take a long time to heal. So just love is patient. But have the heart that says, Lord, one more. I want to reconcile. I want to bring one more person into your family. And finally, one of the soldiers at the bottom of the hill looks up and Desmond had stopped doing something. He had saw so many friends die. He wouldn't look at the face of the person because it broke his heart, but he would help heal them, and then he'd lower them down. All of a sudden, the U.S. soldier sees a man coming down. It's a Japanese soldier who's been shooting at them and realizes that Desmond's all about love of enemy. It's a beautiful thing to make peace. It's hard work. Romans 12 says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you and me, live at peace with everyone. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. Be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Ephesians 4, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body, one spirit. Have you ever heard of an Anabaptist gentleman named Dirk Williams? Yeah, what a story, eh? This one's brief, and then I'll close out with a little doxology. Dirk is an Anabaptist, and you're not supposed to be baptized by immersion. You get baptized as a baby, and he's being persecuted for his belief in Christ. And he is being chased to be put in prison and eventually tried by one of the police officers. And as he's running across a lake that's frozen, the officer, we love the sound of crying babies, by the way, it's a beautiful thing, so that's just fine. The officer chasing him falls through the ice and he hears it. And Dirk goes back and saves the enemy that's trying to kill him. And of course, that changed that man's life, and he begged the magistrate, don't put him in jail. The magistrate, who was a man of justice, a Javert type in Les Mis, letter of the law, this is what the law says. And they burned him. They tortured him and put him in prison and burned him at the stake. And the towns around him as he burned heard him praying, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And when people saw the pain that that man went through and humbly trusted his God, many came to believe in Christ. Nothing speaks to a hurting world louder and clearer than a Christian who suffers well. For all of those of you who believe war is necessary, I would say in the words of John Lennon, let's give peace a chance first. Let's start at a table that says, I will always lay down my life for what I believe. I will never kill for what I believe. It's interesting thinking. I've been around a lot of pacifists, and it's really hard to deny their courage, even though I know there's a time for war, as Solomon says. I'll finish with this. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Now may the Lord Jesus of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. Wholeness, completeness in your heart, in your community, in our world. The Lord be with all of you. Amen. Father, thanks for a moment of silence to remember those who died, those who lived and suffered great emotional pain. And all of that is a reminder that you laid down your life so we could be free. Thank you. Speak to us in our hearts as we pause for a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here today. Send us out to be peacemakers, peace doers, in the simplest ways and in the grandest ways, for your name's sake. Amen. We're going to have the praise. Am I off the air already, Tommy? Tommy's muting me. Oh, man. We'll have the praise team come, and then we'll transition to a meal and a meeting, I think. Is that correct? Okay, I'll give thanks for the food after this, and then we'll transition out. If there's any announcements, just come on up, and you can make them if you need to make some, okay? Any emergency announcements, come on up.